ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Americans are feeling the pinch with food prices edging up again. The Agricultural Department shows that Americans are spending 11.3% of their budgets on grocery costs. That's a rate not seen in the U.S. since 1991. Mark Zandi is chief economist for Moody's and tells ABC News that a number of core food options saw rises over the past several months.
Egg prices were back up again. Meat products also saw some big jumps. Also, soda prices jumped a lot. Things that we all enjoy where prices are still jumping.
When it comes to jobs, new data from the Labor Department showing that fewer Americans filed first-time unemployment benefits. Jobless claims dropped by 12,000 last week compared to the week before. A second in vitro fertilization provider has halted parts of its treatment program in Alabama following the state Supreme Court's decision that frozen embryos are legally children. Alabama fertility specialists say the pause is due to legal risks. This is ABC News. At least 14 people are dead after an illegal gold mine collapsed in Venezuela. About 200 people were working at the mine. The demand for housing increasing in 2024.
Existing home sales increased by more than 3% in January compared to December. The National Association of Realtors says the sales sped up in the Midwest, South, and the West, and they held steady in the Northeast. The number declined from January of 2023, but the prices did not. Median sale price for an existing home is up more than 5% from a year ago to $379,100. Brian Clark, ABC News.
If you think there are fewer people at the gym, you're not wrong. Attendance is down. One reason is the popularity of weight loss drugs. Trainers say Ozempic and similar drugs are causing people to become nauseous during workouts. And they say some people taking the drug are also skipping the gym. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. Search for a missing 3-year-old boy in Two Rivers continues. An Amber Alert was issued Tuesday afternoon for Elijah View. Authorities say Elijah's caregiver last saw him Tuesday morning at his family's home. Community volunteers have joined Two Rivers Police along with state and federal crime scene response teams in the search for the toddler. That includes drones and canine teams. The city's police chief, Benjamin Meinert, provided a Wednesday night update on the search for Elijah.
Our search and rescue teams have been combing through our neighborhoods, parks, wooded areas, and they've been following up on all leads and tips from the public.
Officials are also asking people to check their doorbell cameras and backyards and be on the lookout for the little boy. Legislation to speed up the counting of absentee ballots in Wisconsin elections is in trouble in the state Senate. Bipartisan bill passed easily in the Assembly. Speaker Robin Voss says he's puzzled by Senate inaction.
I have no idea why senators would not want to solve the problem of these late-night ballot dumps.
That bill would allow processing of absentee ballots the day before Election Day. Wisconsin's indigenous communities are in the spotlight at the Capitol today.
The 20th State of the Tribes address features Chairman James Crawford of the Forest County Potawatomi. He'll welcome members of Wisconsin's 11 federally recognized tribes and deliver this year's address at 10 o'clock to a joint session of the legislature in the assembly chambers. The annual address is a chance for the people of Wisconsin, constitutional officers, justices of the state Supreme Court, and lawmakers to understand the issues facing Native nations and celebrate common values. Each year, the Great Lakes Intertribal Council selects a governing member to deliver the address. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another spring-like sunny day as temperatures slide to the low 50s. A few clouds build in tonight as winds become a bit breezy, pulling in the much cooler air for Friday, where highs drop to where they should be for this time of year into the low 30s. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
International Davis Day via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Troy Bredenkamp from the Renewable Fuels Association. Then it's Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm the handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
You're going to have to provide some sort of certification or something that today is actually International Davis Day.
I tried to get it on the agenda over at COP28. Yeah. They wouldn't have it. I didn't meet the ESG standards. Apparently, I emit too many pollutants. I can't explain it. My wife would concur.
I think you could explain it. It wouldn't take long. But I'm glad to hear that you're trying.
It's a
I'm
grassroots effort. Trying. You know, yes. You got to start somewhere.
You got to start with a crowd of one. And you've got her going.
Stackler's on board.
Okay, good. Good for you guys. You got something to do. Yeah. All right, welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip. That is Davis.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome. Glad that you are here. We're going to spend a little bit of time first, talking about what's going on in the cattle industry. We've got Greg Henderson is coming up. He's got some perspective on what's happening in the feeder cattle market ahead of the cattle on feed report that is coming our way on Friday, tomorrow afternoon. He thinks it's going to be a very, very important cattle on feed report for this market. So we'll get some details on that from Henderson. And then we've got a couple of conferences that we're going to wrap up and get some reports from. One just wrapped up yesterday, the Renewable Fuels Association National Ethanol Conference. We'll talk with Troy about that. And then Ethan is going to come in with the priorities for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And we've got a couple of other issues that I know that we want to get to in that conversation with Ethan. All right, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, we'll start with the weather, which starts with the word pleasant. Pleasantly mild across most of the country through the end of the week. Showers and thunderstorms from the Gulf Coast to the Ohio Valley on Thursday.
Here in the middle of the country, last night I turned the news on so that I could catch the local weather forecast. I looked at my wife. I said, I turned the news on to catch the weather. I watched the whole thing, and it turns out there isn't any.
Yeah, no weather to report at all. Yeah. Spring Watch down here in the city of Fountains, we've got buds on the lilacs now. It's just one thing after the next.
And the rhubarb's coming.
The rhubarb's up. I got lilacs coming. I mean, it's all coming up good. Private exporters reported sales of 126,000 metric tons of sorghum for delivery to China during the 23-24 marketing year. Like to see that sale.
Yeah, absolutely. Just China being active in the U.S. market is a positive thing.
Well, as you mentioned, Renewable Fuels Association head Jeff Cooper told the group's annual National Ethanol Conference in San Diego this week, 2024 will be, quote, one of the most pivotal years ever for the industry.
Cooper says policy decisions in the next 3 to 6 months on sustainable aviation fuel tax credits, year-round E15, and light-duty vehicle tailpipe standards will shape ethanol's future for possibly decades to come. Chip, more on this from Troy Bredenkamp from RFA. We've got him coming up just next year. According to USDA's Economic Research Service, rural employment recovered to pre-pandemic levels in the third quarter of 2023, more than 1 year after urban employment did. Rural employment rates in 23 were at their lowest point since before 1990. Unemployment during the pandemic reached a high of 13.3% in urban areas and 11.4% in rural areas, compared to pre-pandemic rates of 3.8% and 4.2% respectively. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack Wednesday announced more than $772 million in investment for rural infrastructure projects. USDA says the new projects will benefit more than 1 million people living in remote areas of the country by providing reliable high-speed internet access, clean, safe water, and a range of support for rural communities. The American Soybean Association conducted a survey to assess the potential impacts of the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed herbicide strategy on soy farmers. The survey results indicate significant concerns among soybean producers regarding their ability to comply with the proposed regulations and the potential financial and operational burdens they may face.
Yeah, that's one of the things about what's happening right now in the rules and regulation business, that side of farming, is there's a high level of concern with some of the issues that are coming out of EPA, as is typically the case.
Well, Chip, a visit to Taiwan by lawmakers, spearheaded by House China Chair Representative Mike Gallagher, may further strain relations between the island and China. And finally, Chip, Jens Stoltenberg, NATO's Secretary General, has affirmed Ukraine's right to strike Russian military targets outside Ukraine under international law, marking a significant shift in rhetoric. Stoltenberg emphasized Ukraine's right to self-defense in the face of Russian aggression, including the ability to target legitimate Russian military sites beyond its borders. Chip.
All right. Hey, save that panda story for the end of the show.
We'll do. I saved it.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Chip. I'm great.
All right. Talk to me about this grass fever.
Yes, it's already a pandemic, right? So yeah. It's 6 to 8 weeks early, and these guys that are backgrounders, stocker operators, trying to buy grass cattle, and they're looking at these prices, just shaking their heads. They don't know whether to sit on their hands or, you know, if they bid on these cattle, they're looking at needing record prices to break even or make any money. Spring turnout, 6 to 8 weeks away. We've seen new all-time highs posted for 500-pound feeder cattle. Oklahoma City, that was $323. That makes that steer worth $615, Chip. Think Jeez. About that semi-load of those being worth $161,000. So looks like we're going past that this week. Four weights selling in Joplin at 337. That makes those four weights $1,400 a head. Story up on our site from the American Hereford Association about Hereford influenced cattle in Mitchell, South Dakota last week. 73 red baldy steers weighing 700 pounds brought 265. So if your feed yard, man, that's looking like those driving those break even high, even higher than they are now. Feed yards, we know, Chip, are losing a little money anyway. So buying those replacement cattle is going to get to be harder. The good news, yeah. I guess, is the futures are up this morning. They've been rallying the last couple weeks. So we get another on feed report tomorrow. We'll see. We're anticipating it being bullish.
It's going to be a critical one, isn't it?
It will. Those placements in January may have been down as much as 12%, according to trade estimates. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Great. Good stuff. Always something to think about when we have a conversation with Henderson there. Get more on
this.
Thanks,
Chip.
You bet. www.drovers.com is where to go for more. Coming up next, let's get a report from the National Ethanol Conference. Troy Bredenkamp, RFA, up next.
Take control with Brandt and Zup Zinc. Elevate your crop's health and yield with this enzyme-based zinc solution. Designed for enhanced nutrient uptake, plant vigor, and supporting early growth. Take control of your corn and soybean yield with Brandt Enzup Zinc. Visit Brandt.co to learn more. That's Brandt.co.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers: progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
It can be challenging for U.S. farmers to make a profit in the grain markets. Reduce your risk exposure by purchasing professionally produced seed from authorized seed companies and seed dealers. The members of the Seed Innovation and Protection Alliance invest 15% of their sales into product research and development to help farmers like you maximize their crop performance every year. Bringing new seed innovations requires time, extensive research, and farmer partnership, the kind of commitments the seed companies of SEPA are investing in. Thank you for buying new seed and supporting U.S. seed innovation. To anonymously report a seed infringement, call 1-844-SEED.
With thousands of openings and hundreds of agricultural careers, from environmental science and biotechnology to international relations and marketing, today's FFA members are acquiring the tools they'll need to succeed in their chosen field.
Today and every day in 2024, we salute the FFA.
Saluting our local FFA members and chapters during National FFA Week, this FFA salute is brought to you by Bruner Seeds, Highway 10, Durand.
It's as important as the pool of traits and genetics as it is the farmer. The seed supplier is just as important. Bruner Seed Incorporated is proud to return their roots as a family-owned and operated seed business. Bruner Seed is committed to providing a quality seed at a fair price. With a variety of corn and soybean products to choose from, as well as alfalfa and pasture mixes, Bruner Seed has the genetics and traits best suited for your farm. To find the dealer near you, call Bruner Seed at 715-672-5887. Bruner Seed Incorporated, family-owned and operated, Highway 10, Durand.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. The Renewable Fuels Association National Ethanol Conference earlier this week in San Diego, California, just wrapped up yesterday. Joining us now with a summary of what took place, Troy Bredenkamp, Senior VP, Government and Public Affairs at the RFA. Troy, it's great to talk with you. I assume you're still out in California.
I am, Chip. We are getting out of town this morning. It's a beautiful day, but we had a great conference here in San Diego.
Yeah, man, it sounds like Cooper was leading a pep rally at the end of this one.
Well, he really was. I mean, it's an exciting time, Chip. I mean, you and I have talked before. He highlighted the fact that this is a pivotal year for ethanol. Our theme for this National Ethanol Conference was powered by partnerships, and we kind of just went right down the list of things. If they all break our way, it's going to be a really good year for biofuels and in particular ethanol.
Right. Lots of things that we are watching. There's no question about it. I was trying to pick a place where I wanted to start with you on this, but I think I'm going to leave it up to you, Troy. What was the conversation or the event at NEC? And it doesn't need to be anything from the main stage. What was the thing at NEC that left the greatest impression on you?
Well, I think what I'm going to keep coming back to, Chip, is really our theme, and that was this whole idea of partnerships and how it's going to be partnerships that really get anything done down the road. I mean, there was the usual issues of E15, and oh, by the way, Chip, I could probably break a little news on that if you want later. There was the sustainable aviation fuel discussions and things like that, but that's different partnerships than we've ever had before. But then there was other new uses like green chemicals, green methanol. I talked to people from the Maersk shipping company because they're looking for green methanol, and green methanol needs clean CO2 and it needs green hydrogen. And that's two things that ethanol plants can provide. So there's just all these opportunities that are coming down the pipe, and it's just an exciting time. There's challenges, obviously, in front of us from a political perspective, from a regulatory perspective, but the opportunities are there, and we hope to really take advantage of those in 2024.
Yeah, cool. I don't want to get too deep into this one, but the demand for that green methanol that you were talking about with Maersk, that seems huge, the maritime possibilities.
Well, if we're talking about replacing all current bunker fuel with a green methanol that can be derived from the hydrogen, the six hydrogen parts within the ethanol molecule, and the clean CO2, biogenic CO2 stream coming out of an ethanol plant, yes, that the sky's the limit when it comes to that. You know, so there you're, and not only that, Chip, but when you take that biogenic CO2 and you beneficially reuse it, that's lowering your CI, your carbon intensity for the other uses for that ethanol. So it's a win-win. And so very exciting to have those kinds of conversations down here in San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. That ethanol would probably qualify for sustainable aviation fuel, wouldn't it?
It would certainly qualify for an advanced biofuel.
Okay.
And so absolutely, there's all, yes, if we were to take that carbon intensity out, we are well below the threshold to then be used as a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel. So, so one benefits the other. So there was all kinds of good conversations like that down here.
Yep. Partnerships, partnerships, partnerships. I can't believe I've let myself go this long. You mentioned that there's news on E15, and I'm just coming back to it right now. What is it?
Well, couple little birdies in D.C. are telling us that the White House will be releasing the long-awaited announcement on the eight states that have petitioned to opt out of the RVP waiver for E15. We are told that's coming yet today. It'll be, I think, released by the White House at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Okay. And we're anticipating, and again, this is just us in what we're hearing, but we're anticipating it will be approved, and it should have been approved long ago, Chip. This was a 90-day review process. Should not have taken 2.5 years, but, you know, it's the federal government, so sometimes things take a little longer.
Yeah,
it will be approved, but we're hearing it might be delayed until 2025. And so that, again, puts us in this, you know, state of flux in terms of what do we do with the 2024 summer driving season. So it's a little bit of good news. It's a little bit of bad news if that's what indeed comes out here in another couple hours. And then we'll have to figure out how we manage through 2024 summer. But that seems to be coming our way today.
Okay, cool, cool. You spent time focused on trade issues at the conference. I thought that was really important. What was the message from USTR Chief Ag Negotiator Doug McAllop to the ethanol industry?
You know, Ambassador McAllop did a great job. He wasn't on stage long, but he covered a lot of ground, and he talked a lot about Europe and what it's going to take for us to make some inroads there. He talked about smaller markets that we wouldn't necessarily think about, some even in Africa that are opportunities. He talked quite a bit on Brazil and how he and the administration is kind of taking them to task with their with the tariff situation down there and explaining how that's not an even playing field and we're not going to allow for that. And then he finished up his comments on China, and he explained while China is a huge opportunity, especially for biofuels, they are having their own set of economic issues right now. And so it's just a very dynamic time from the international market. You know, The one thing that I like about the National Ethanol Conference is we really leave no stone unturned. So we cover that new stuff. We cover the current events, but we also cover the international market, because if there's 1 to 2 to maybe 3 billion gallons that could be exported, that's nothing but good news for the ethanol sector and for the U.S. corn farmer.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. Of course, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack was there. He's usually very upbeat and optimistic when it comes to the future of biofuels. Was that the case?
I think it was. Yeah, he delivered a very good message. He explained the importance of the role that biofuel plays within the rural economy, and how it's been probably one of the greatest success stories, maybe since rural electrification, if you were to take a look at it from top to bottom. He certainly is a strong supporter of the industry. He also sees a bright future for us in these hard to electrify spaces like sustainable aviation fuel, bunker fuel for shipping, things like this that people really weren't thinking about 2 to 3 years ago, but now certainly need to be thinking about now. He did somewhat break the news on where the EPA was leaning on this 8-state opt-out. He said we will have that done, and E15 will be available in 2025. So that's where we're picking up some of that news. And then obviously he mentioned, you know, there's going to be a need for waivers to get through this summer. So all those things, I think, lead to the conclusion we're at, and that is, going to get this announcement today, but the administration understands there's going to be a need to make sure that lowest priced fuel option at the pump is not cut off during the summer driving season. And I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want that to happen just months before a general election. So we're hopeful, and we will work on them to make sure that they deliver on that promise.
Yeah. Secretary Vilsack has focused very much on SAF and the bunker fuel. Is it because he leans to EVs for the consumer fleet?
You know, he really doesn't. I mean, he's pretty nonchalant when it comes to EVs. He even mentioned, he goes, you know, I mean, they're nice for some, you know, not for me, but, you know, it's going to be part of the future. There are going to be more electric vehicles on the road next year than there were this year. I mean, that's just the fact of the situation. But even having said that, if you move the E10 standard where we're at today in the US to E15, that's a 50% increase in the amount of renewable fuel being used. So that's actually probably a large increase in overall ethanol usage. So he's pretty high on where we're at and then where we could go. He's very supportive. We did give him our industry award because he's done such a great job being a champion for us over the years.
Gotcha. Troy, thank you so much for making time for us. Sounds like a great conference, and thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you, Chip. Appreciate it.
You bet. Troy Bredenkamp, Senior VP, Government and Public Affairs for the Renewable Fuels Association. We've got Ethan Lane from NCBA up next.
Are you ready to diversify your farm income? Sweetwater Technologies, powered by GRIP, is offering the next generation of agricultural entrepreneurs turnkey, owner-operated drone business partnerships. Together, we can grow and empower agricultural communities through technological solutions. It is our vision to build economic growth for future generations. Apply today to become a business partner and join our journey on the road to 1 million acres at sweetwatertechnologies.com.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day
the country experience.
Soil health is one of the most important parts of your farm. Without good soil health, crop yields are affected, and so is your bottom line. Bluff Country Feed and Seed can help improve your soil health with products from Midwestern BioAg. With dry and liquid biologic fertilizers that help the soil hold nutrients for your crop, to soil and plant testing to find out how much and what type of fertilizer you need. Bluff Country Feed and Seed will improve your farm's profitability through improved soil health. Start improving your farm soil health today. Call or visit Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi or visit them online at bluffcountryfs.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets. Reporting from the Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. March milk up 11 to 1709, April up 40 to 1760, May up 41 to 1795, June milk now up 28 at 1836. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, live and feeder cattle markets have moved mostly lower. We've seen a little bit of a drop in the beef cutout values, and that's led to some profit-taking in the markets and even some positioning ahead of that cattle on feed report tomorrow. The trade, though, still expecting a pretty bullish cattle on feed report, but they are taking some profits ahead of that report. Hog markets, meanwhile, triple-digit gains in the nearbys as pork cutout values are moving higher today, and that's led to a resumed buying interest in hogs. February live cattle down 2 cents to 183.95. March feeder cattle down 27 cents to 251.07. And April hogs now up $1.67 to 87.65. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans are continuing to move mostly lower, even though they've been severely oversold the last couple of days. The market trying to find a bottom in prices as the futures are still holding record short positions. March corn down 4.5 to 406.5. New crop down 4.5 to 452.75. March beans down 10.5 to 1150.25. New crop now down 9.25 to 1142. Wheat markets are beginning to turn mixed due to weakness in corn and beans. March wheat down 1.75 to 581.5.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us.
Are you boogieing? Can you feel it?
Yeah, I can feel it. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Who was that?
KC? KC in the Sunshine Band.
Yep. Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome back. Glad you are here. Ethan Lane is the VP of Governmental Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. He joins us right now, not exactly fresh off CattleCon, but it's the first chance that I've had to sit down and have a conversation with Ethan about the priorities that were discussed down in Orlando at the annual convention. So, Ethan, thank you so much for making some time for us.
Great to be with you.
All right. Going into CattleCon at the end of last month, the electronic ID tags were a hot topic of discussion. Where did that conversation end up on EIDs?
You know, it ended up about where it started. And by that, I mean, you know, there was a lot of conversation outside of NCBA, folks that aren't members, groups that aren't affiliated. The Livestock Marketing Association and some of its members just had an absolute preschool meltdown over this traceability policy. And it was rooted in one part misunderstanding of how our policy process works. You know, we have 44 state affiliates. Some of them have mandatory trace policy. Some of them don't. And the way our policy process works, people submit policy proposals. All of the states talk to their boards of directors. They look at their policy books. They come to the meeting and then they debate it. And we kind of figure out from there where we're going to go. I think those of us that understand that dynamic could have told you when that policy was proposed that there probably wouldn't have been the support in the room to go as far as some of those states would like to go in endorsing or you know, falling in line behind a more strident approach to traceability. We ended up with policy that looked very similar to what we came in with, which is a preference for voluntary, a support for the idea of electronic ID being an important development and something that the supply chain should be looking to engage in, but a continued focus on that being an industry-driven and voluntary effort rather than one directed by the federal government and by USDA. But the policy also recognizes that there's a rulemaking underway. We don't get a choice about whether or not the USDA rule is going to move forward. We have to figure out how we're going to engage with it. So our priorities continue to be making sure our producers aren't paying the cost for those tags, making sure that that data is secure and not able to be taken advantage of by animal rights groups or whoever else, that solution moves at the speed of commerce and isn't a hindrance to folks as they move through the supply chain, and that, you know, those resources are available for our producers. So that's where we're spending our time and our focus. Okay. We're trying to get some money in the appropriations process to pay for tags. We're continuing to work with USDA to ensure that their priority is tags for producers, and that is where this conversation starts, so that it's not our producers bearing the cost of this transition as we watch it over the next few months.
What's the timeline on that rulemaking?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, the rule has been sent to the White House, to OMB, for in final form. So it goes through a review process that could take months. You know, we expect that review to be done sometime in the next month or so. You know, and then the way it's written, there's a 6-month window before it actually goes live. So at some point, if they clear that review, they put it out on the street in final form and publish a final rule, it'll be 6 months before that would actually take effect. And those folks that are moving intact cattle over 18 months interstate would then need to have an ID in ear that is both visually and electronically readable. And that's something I think people didn't understand about this rule. You know, what they're saying is you don't have to have the equipment to read an electronic ID tag. You just have to use a tag that's both visually readable and electronically readable moving forward in those specific classes of cattle. So theoretically, if they put a rule out in the next 60 days, then you'd be talking about a fall implementation of that rule. But, you know, everything is slower than it ought to be, or than, you know, so that's kind of a guideline. We could be having this conversation in July and still not have a rule out, but we're looking at the next month or two from what we understand is the first available opportunity for that to go live.
Okay. What were some of the other priorities that were focused on at CattleCon? The farm bill has to be, and animal health has got to be near the top of the list, right?
Oh, no question about it. You know, and look, we're all looking at farm bill timing. I mean, GT and his team and the House Ag Committee are trying to do everything they can to get a bill moved in the most difficult environment I can think of to try to advance a farm bill. Looking for that window before, you know, you kind of lose the room in June to the campaign schedule. They were hoping for March to get a floor vote on the farm bill in the House. Now they're going to be talking funding and appropriations instead. That leaves kind of April and May to try to find a couple weeks to work on this bill on the House floor. You know, I'm right where I've always been, which, despite the best efforts of the folks in the ag community, I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about a farm bill this time next year still. I think, and that's not the fault of anybody in the ag community on Capitol Hill. That's the fact that this is a pretty dysfunctional body in the Capitol at the moment. And that's not the environment to move $1.5 trillion farm bill.
Right. Speaking of preventing some of those foreign animal diseases, talk foot and mouth disease and the ongoing efforts to open up the U.S. to imports of beef from Paraguay. What's the status there?
So they're live. I mean, that USDA and USTR, the White House, have allowed that to happen. Paraguayan beef is now allowed to be shipped into the United States, despite the fact that the on-site boots on the ground inspections of their systems in Paraguay are a year or 10 or more years old at this point from both APHIS and FSIS. And, you know, Vilsack answered this question again in his testimony in the House Ag Committee when he was pressed by members. And he said, well, you know, we did some analysis of the analysis and we feel like we're in good shape, even though no one's been on the ground to eyeball it in a decade. I mean, that just seems insane to us. And it's something we're going to continue to push back on. We saw a resolution of disapproval on a bipartisan basis announced in the House yesterday. We are incredibly grateful to those members, Caraveo and Ronnie Jackson and I think 17 others. That signed on to that resolution of disapproval. There's a bill in the Senate that does the same thing. You know, the Hill is speaking very clearly on this, and it's I joke it's one of the few issues where you're ever going to see RCAF and us and you know all these different groups on the same page saying, hey, I don't care who it is, if they raise cattle in the U.S., they think this is a bad idea.
Right. Okay. You know, this is about as strange a year in D.C. as it gets, isn't it?
Without question. It's just insane.
What are the risks to the quote unquote average guy out there that's in the cattle business in a year like this?
Well, you know, I mean, look, NCBA, for better or worse, our members across the country have always had a position that less government is better, right? Whenever the federal government gets involved in your business, they screw it up. So from that perspective, you know, a Congress that's totally dysfunctional isn't the worst thing in the world, right? Less is more. But you have a White House and an administration that's very emboldened right now to do whatever they feel like doing. So there's always a danger there if we don't have effective checks and balances, right? That's the way the system is supposed to work. So you need a legislative branch that can stand up and pass resolutions. You know, exercise the power of the purse strings, do those things they are chartered by the Constitution to do. If that's not working, it gets out of balance. So right now, the biggest threat you have out there is, you know, you have an executive branch that can do pretty much whatever they want, knowing the Hill is going to have a hard time getting their act together to respond to it just because of the infighting and the tight margins and the problems up there right now. Despite the fact that there are a lot of good people trying to get something done, but you know, it's an incredibly tough environment to do that. So, you know, on one hand, you never are too upset when they can't pass any new laws and create new problems in Washington, but you do need them to be functional.
Yeah. Yeah. We certainly need it to be functional. EPA and NCBA, what are some of the things that you are watching there?
You know, I think as we're watching, I think hopefully the closing, arguments on the whole WOTUS saga of the last decade plus. You know, we've got 85% of I think what we'd like to see out of a final rule there. We're still in court working on some of these unanswered issues with you know water bodies that go over state lines. But the EPA's new interest in discharge and effluent coming out of small packing facilities in particular. You know, and that's not specifically our end of the world, but it's an area we spent a lot of time on in the last couple of years with USDA trying to build up more local and regional processing capacity. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating to see, you know, the right hand and the left hand in the federal government don't seem to know what each other is doing.
Yep.
If USDA is giving out $1 billion and EPA is going to create some problems where those same small plants have to spend that $1 billion to comply, you know, with a new requirement from EPA, then they're not going to get the expansion we all need for those, you know, those new and diversified hooks. So it's incredibly frustrating to see this. I don't know what it takes to get them to have a cross-department meeting and figure this out, but we're keeping a close eye on that. We're working with stakeholders in that community to make sure that we're getting arguments in front of EPA on those issues. And the packing community is doing that too. I mean, that's their baby to kind of work on, but we're trying to be supportive where we can there because we need those small producer owned facilities and small processors to be growing, not dealing with a new regulatory burden from EPA.
Ethan, I don't know a lot of them. Those I do know seem to be building a relationship with a customer base. It seems to be working the way that I think the industry would like to see it work. It would be really something to see some EPA burdens come down and bring an end to it.
It would just be the worst possible outcome of this, but we're going to do everything we can to prevent that.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Ethan. Great conversation. Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Chip. Good talking
to you. You bet. All right. Ethan Lane, VP Governmental Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. All right, it is National FFA Week. Did you know that? Happy FFA Week. We're going to talk with Andrew McCray about that next.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
They come from all walks of life, from the largest cities to the smallest communities in America. Young men and women preparing for leadership roles in a host of careers that support American agriculture.
Today and every day in 2024, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members and volunteers.
Saluting our local FFA members and chapters during National FFA Week, this FFA salute brought to you by Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, your Touchstone Energy partner.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true, we take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, your Touchstone Energy partner, your source for power and information.
For the 2024 season, many are watching interest rates and looking for the best financing options. Here to talk about how FBN Finance is helping farmers secure a personalized land loan is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales. TJ, rates have been volatile for some time now. What does the current market look like, and how does FBN Finance help farmers with their land financing?
Thanks for having me. You know, rates have been very volatile, but luckily, we've seen a nice drop of about 1% in interest rates over the last couple months on most of our products across the board. So the Federal Reserve has hinted that there could be some further rate reductions over the next year and a half, which is a great time to review your loan and see if it makes sense to start laying the groundwork for a refinance now or go ahead and get that process going for you.
Okay, so how does someone decide which loan term is best for them?
Yeah, so at FBN Finance here, we are focused on working with family farmers, and we try to take a very unique approach to each farmer's operation. Our team has an average experience of 15 years in the space and really understands what these farmers are going through. Most of our team is in the industry themselves and are producers, so we really try to look at it from their perspective to understand what the best terms are for them.
Okay, what's the best way for someone to get in contact with that experienced team?
You can get started by going to fbn.com/agritalk. Or call directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D. Right now, AgriTalk listeners, when you fill out the form, speak with a loan advisor, or call directly and mention AgriTalk, you're eligible to save $500 on your closing costs for your next land loan over $250,000.
Excellent. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN. Again, go to fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Land, and be sure to mention AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner.
Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Well, I wish I had some shoes. All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. Great conversations today. Some issues that we need to keep an eye on. Unsettled issues that I think are going to have get a lot of attention. A lot of attention from the biofuels industry and from the cattle industry going forward. These EIDs are, it's not a simple answer. And thinking that there is a simple answer to it that's going to make everybody happy out there is probably a little off base. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to a cattleman right now. He's also my favorite, like, FFA-er of all time, Andrew McCray. American Countryside, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Doing real fine, real fine. Happy National FFA Week. Feel good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. It's that time of year, the week of Washington's birthday every year.
Yep. So what do you hope is accomplished by National FFA Week, Andrew?
Well, I do think it's one of those times in which you not only, you know, now that I'm older and out of FFA, you reflect on what FFA has done for you. But I do think, and I see it in my kids now, I mean, I have two high schoolers, both in FFA. It's that time in which you are out in the community, you're trying to do things to help your community. And I think you begin to think about, okay, what's my future? How's FFA prepare me for that? So, you know, in my way of thinking, I guess that's what it means for me and hopefully helps what it does.
Yeah. You know, one thing about FFA is it's got the inroads into rural America through the rural school system. We know that. But it's never been more popular than it is today in urban areas. Is that right?
Oh, sure. You know, FFA membership is now at a all-time high. When I was in FFA, it had bottomed out. You know, you think back to the farm crisis and so forth, yeah. And FFA certainly still helps kids that are wanting to go into production agriculture, and that's great. It's important to me. But its ability to reach out and teach, you know, the science of agriculture, the breadth of agriculture, to do that for students really in all locations, and even more than that, the leadership and communication. To me, that makes me feel good to see a program that I love be able to touch so many students. You know, some of the biggest chapters, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, places like that. That is really neat to see.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was not in FFA, didn't have the opportunity or immediate opportunity, but I was very active in 4-H. Some of the things that I took away from 4-H, you know, I point to it all the time. The communication skills is right at the top of the list of things that I took away from 4-H. And what's on your list, Andrew, when you look back and you see how your career has grown and developed, what items that you've kind of checked off along the way can you look back and say, yeah, you know what? FFA helped me get that.
Well, I always tell people I got an FFA because I wanted to be a better farmer, and it certainly helped me do that. But what I didn't understand at the time is how it would help me so much with communications and leadership. And I see it with my own kids now. You know, my daughter's a freshman, and like so many freshmen in FFA, she had to say the creed, and it really made me feel good to see her saying the creed and doing some things that in some way she's never had to do or done very little, is get up in front of a group and speak. And, you know, FFA pushes you in some places you need to be pushed, and that's good. And so many advisors, wow, you know, I think that my advisor and my kids' advisors now, how important they are in a kid's life, and teachers in general. But, boy, that FFA advisor, they make such a difference.
Oh, they certainly do. how is the organization doing now as far as support in the system?
Well, I think that it's doing very well. And sometimes, you know, I am just a dad of FFA members now, so I don't necessarily work for FFA, but I'm certainly around it all the time and speaking to different groups. I guess one of the good things is it has been so successful, it is hard to find the instructors to be the FFA advisors to have enough of them. I mean, there's plenty of people that want to, but because those programs have expanded. In fact, I just had this conversation last night. I was out speaking in Grand Island, Nebraska, and the folks at my table were saying, boy, we really need another advisor. We need to expand. And, you know, and I hear that all the time. And so it's just getting enough young folks to want to go into teaching. And there are several, but the programs continue to expand. You just need more all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the future for FFA is certainly bright. There's no question about that. How are things around home in Northwest Missouri? I know that it's only Feb 22nd, but tell me, are things starting to green up?
Well, a little bit. You know, I joked with somebody, it used to be a big deal if somebody tried to plant corn in March. I think they may try to do it in February this year, the way things are going. Man, it has been warm. Although we had some big snows in January, at least for us. But, you know, in 1 week of cold weather. But otherwise, it's been a pretty warm winter. And, it feels like a lot of days like spring.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't it feel like grass season's going to be here early?
Oh, it does. It does. Yeah. Now, sometimes we think that and then we get a surprise, but still the forecasts are for it to remain warm. So I had this conversation this morning with somebody about, hey, are things greening up? When's new grass going to come? But, you know, even with warm temperatures, so much of it is with day length and things. Mother Nature kind of has an idea of when the calendar is too. So we'll
That's
see what
right.
happens.
That's exactly right. Andrew, thanks for the great conversation, buddy. Appreciate you. And happy National FFA Week.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Andrew McCray, American Countryside, thank you so much for listening this morning. Really appreciate it. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Kirk Kimmel from agmarket.net. And tomorrow morning, of course, we've got the free-for-all coming. There's been some conversation on social media about the conversation that we had with Bob Hemesath, new president of Farmers for Free Trade. Jim Wiesmeyer is wound up on trade issues this week. Tomorrow morning's free-for-all, we will address some of the issues that have been discussed out on social media. But come back this afternoon, Kirk Kimmel, right here, AgriTalk.
Lower crop prices and extreme weather can take a toll on your profits and peace of mind. Crop insurance is a powerful tool to not only protect your financial security, but give you confidence to market grain, invest in your operation, and provide for what matters most, your family. At Farmers Mutual Hail, we understand that, so we've created products that allow you to customize plans for up to 95% coverage. It's time to rethink your crop insurance and choose FMH, America's Crop Insurance Company, to protect your livelihood. Visit connect.fmh.com today.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So outside, I wanna be. But so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Sneezing, coughing, stuffy nose, runny nose, post-nasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then, a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.